Hey everyone, welcome to the Pot Awareness Podcast, and thanks for joining me. This podcast is specifically for about educating and raising awareness for animals and rescues and organizations across the United States and world. It really goes a long way towards this mission when our listeners rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, and all of our other podcast platforms. Also, be sure to check us out on our official website at pawawareness.org and on social media at TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram at pawawareness_podcast. You can check us out for all of our latest bits and clips of our podcast, as well as Pet of the Week and Pet of the Month. If you're listening and involved with an animal rescue organization or have a story of your own that you want to share, reach out to us at info@pawawareness.org and we can get you on the podcast. Thanks for watching, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of the Paw Awareness Podcast. Today, I'm grateful to be speaking with Robin Young from the Richmond Animal Care and Control Center. And she is the outreach coordinator along with a slew of other things that she does. So Robin, thank you so much for coming on. I want you to go ahead and introduce yourself, what it is that you do, and the organization.
Yeah, well, thanks for having us. So my title is outreach coordinator. But like we were talking about, I'm kind of all over the place. So I oversee our foster program, our volunteer program, offsite events, which we're not doing a lot of in the age of COVID, but we used to do a lot of offsite events, and then just general media outreach, community outreach. So we're a small staff that kind of covers it all. But we are a municipal shelter in Richmond, Virginia. We take in around 2,600 animals a year. That number is a little bit smaller than what it was pre-COVID. Before COVID, we were taking in just over 3,000 animals. So that's been good that our numbers have decreased. And we do a lot of great work. We're a very transparent municipal shelter. We engage our community. We're super active in social media. So I'm excited to share a little bit about what we do.
Yeah, I think that's really exciting. And I'm really curious too. I feel like, you know, geographically speaking, rescue issues vary across the board, just depending on where you're located. And Virginia, kind of what's the state of what's going on there? What are some common issues, occurrences that you run into on a daily or monthly basis?
Yeah, so we're a city, a larger city in the state. We're the state capital for Virginia. So we're more of an urban environment. So our main intakes are dogs and cats here. The state of Virginia is pretty varied. There are a lot of rural counties, and then you have Northern Virginia close to DC. That's kind of, larger cities and more urban like we are. So the state is pretty vast and different. We were fortunate at the beginning of last year with our numbers being down from COVID to we had space. And so we offered to help out some of our other state shelters and shelters in nearby states. So it was interesting to see the difference and the difference in intakes and being able to help them out. But as far as us as a city, we're a pretty urban environment and mainly dealing with dogs and cats here.
Nice. And I know the weather kind of has a play into different waves of some places have like kitten season or dog season. And so what's the weather like in Virginia? I guess I'm just not familiar with it.
Yeah. So we're pretty much a four season area. We see the mild spring and fall. It can get pretty hot in the summer. So we definitely deal with like heat issues like July and August. And then winters vary. We can have heavy snow. For the most part, we've had a mild winter with a little bit of snow. So we definitely experience all four seasons as far as that goes.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. See, I just,
Yeah, we're never to assume. I just never know. So that's good for me to know. And I know that you mentioned, I guess it's always interesting talking with different individuals across all these different organizations, and you in particular. I'm curious, how long have you been into rescue, and what is it like volunteering versus actually choosing a career in rescue where you're, you know, whether you're getting paid hourly or salary, what's that like? And to kind of piggyback off of that, do you have any advice for someone who maybe wants to go into rescue as a full blown career?
Yeah, so it's a great question. So I've been here for 7 years. And prior to that, my career started out in television behind the scenes. I was a production coordinator and did that for many years. That's what I went to college for. And, many years later, was looking for a change, looking for other employment opportunities. I started volunteering at a local shelter. I eventually took a job with that shelter as like a part-time volunteer coordinator. And I think sheltering in general has evolved over the past 20 years, and there are a lot more opportunities for different types of jobs. And so when I saw, you know, that possibility for like an outreach type position where you can use your marketing skills and your media skills and your outreach skills, it was something that I really wanted to explore and work at. So I took this job here 7 years ago and love it. You know, I grew up loving animals, and I kind of found that my background in television kind of incorporated into what I was doing here. And then of course some things I needed to learn and kind of learn as I go. And I was given that opportunity working for a municipal shelter, working for a government shelter. Salaries are good. Benefits are good. More municipal shelters are hiring above and beyond the animal control officers. They're hiring, assistant directors, people to do marketing, people to oversee foster programs, people to oversee volunteer programs. So there are a lot of opportunities right now. In a lot of ways, it's an up-and-coming industry for those types of positions.
Yeah, I think that's great too, that it's kind of evolving past just volunteers. I think it's nice to be able to get in some individuals like yourself. I think that's a really cool origin story, and how you're tying in your media experience into rescue. And I think that can be said with anyone. I think that there are all these different pockets to rescue, and who knows what, you know, people could bring to the table to help out an organization, whether it's volunteer or getting paid.
Yeah. And I think, first and foremost, you have to have a love for animals and just the ability to come in and stomach the good and the bad and the ugly and try to make a change. And, you know, the whole compassion fatigue and things like that, you've got to be able to handle the things that come to us on a daily basis. But I really think people from different backgrounds, it can be a good transition, and you can bring some different things to the table, some new ideas, and kind of move above and beyond what the old animal sheltering was into new ideas and possibilities.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting that so many individuals are getting into that. And I'm curious too, from your standpoint, what are some ways to handle that compassion fatigue that you mentioned, because it is a thing. And it's even from my standpoint, I'm not going into rescues every day, and I still just like hearing some of these stories, it's a lot. So what's some advice for listeners on that?
Yeah, it's hard to do and easier said than done, but I really think if you can go home and unplug and turn off what's happened during the day. It kind of helps refresh. I say that, but I'm not good at that. I go home and I follow our social media. I respond to emails, things that I wish I could do. And then being a foster coordinator, there's kind of that 24/7 aspect that I deal with. That definitely leads to burnout around late summer when we're busy into kitten season. But I think if you can just go home and unplug, focus on other things, have hobbies, exercise, all those things. I'm very lucky. We're all very lucky here that, you know, we're a municipal shelter that doesn't set time limits for animals. We don't euthanize for space. Animals can stay here as long as they need to find a home. So that definitely makes our jobs a lot easier. We're not having to fight for things. We have a very understanding director. We all have input into our jobs, but I think just being able to disconnect, which like I said, is easier said than done, but I think that's step number one, and just battling, you know, the good and the bad that we see on a daily basis.
Yeah, I think that's some great advice. And it's like kind of sometimes you just have to take a step back. You just can't keep pushing forward into that compassion fatigue. And I'm curious too, you mentioned it was like not, you know, the animals at your shelter, they can stay there as long as they need. What are some things that make that possible versus the shelters that don't have that ability? What would you say is that number one factor?
Well, I would say a number one factor is just the power of social media right now. And in the past 7 years, we've really upped our game with our Facebook, our social media, our Instagram. We're very transparent. We share our stories. We share the sad stories. We share the happy things that we see. And people have really responded to that. And our community's really rallied around us. So that has upped our traffic as far as adoptions. So it's very rare for us to be in panic or full capacity mode. And if we feel like we're getting close to that, we'll do adoption specials or put out a plea on social media that we need help. And we've been very fortunate that our community rallies around us. So that helps that whole space issue. And then as far as owner surrenders, we do owner surrenders by appointment. We don't automatically take an owner surrender, no questions asked. We offer advice. We try to see if we can remedy the situation without an owner having to turn an animal in. And that really helps with our capacity level too. A lot of shelters are open intake for owner surrenders, and that can kind of explode pretty quickly, and your shelter can fill up pretty quickly. So our intake coordinators are really great at talking to people, scheduling appointments for intakes, giving them other options, rehoming ideas. If it's a behavioral issue, our intake staff will kind of work with them on that and just try to do anything possible and make turning an animal into the shelter the last resort. So that helps with our numbers too in the shelter.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Just having that forefront of people and those tools to kind of stop it from even happening. So that's great. And I wanted to know too, are there any projects or like, I guess, what are you guys currently working on or that you have out? I know you mentioned you do adoption specials. Is there anything with the community? I know that you mentioned communities, like that relationship is really important to you guys. So yeah, just curious your take on all that.
Yeah. So we've been really creative over the years with just ideas. We have some pretty creative foster programs that we work on. A few years ago, in 2018, we started it's what we call a casual Friday foster program. And it's where a local business can foster a shelter animal for the day on a Friday. take it to work. They share it on our social media. We share it on ours. That's been a great way to just get animals out into the community, for businesses to get to know us. It's a great way to build partnerships too with local businesses. And then we used to do offsite events with COVID. That's kind of put a stop to that. We hope to get back into that, but we used to be out in the community, events on weekends, things like that. And then I think more than anything, our social media, like I said, we're just very transparent with our stories. We will share sad things that happen, really things that make us sad or angry, or we're big on sharing our medical stories. We're very fortunate to have a foundation that is a nonprofit that raises money for us above and beyond our city budget. So we're able to take in animals with severe injuries that are found as strays, and medically we're able to care for them with our emergency vet partner. So we share those stories and really get the community involved in what we're doing, and just really letting them know this is who we are, this is what we're working on. And you know, we've gained that support over the years with being transparent and sharing our story.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. You guys share all sides of the coin, not just the happy stuff. I think that's you know, really important for people to know and just to experience that, even if it's just through some social media posts. I think that for me was really motivating for me to get into rescue. So that's really, really awesome. You guys are doing that. And speaking of projects and whatnot, what about future projects down the line? I know we just, you know, we're early into 2022. What are some things that you guys have in the works for this upcoming year that you're focusing on?
Yeah, so we're going to keep just growing our community presence. We, with a lot of shelters, I'm sure, have felt the pinch in the past couple years with spay-neuter and vet appointments, and that has kind of delayed sometimes our adoption process, is the lack of appointments with vet clinics being so overrun during COVID. And, you know, that got us to thinking, why don't we have our own clinics? So it's about a year out, but we are going to open our own mobile spay-neuter clinic. We've relied on local vets in the past to outsource our spay-neuter surgeries for our animals. So in around a year, we're going to do that. That way we'll be able to spay-neuter all of our animals in-house. And then also, hopefully at some point, help the community with community spay-neuter and medical needs. So we're excited about that, to be able to do that ourselves in-house.
Yeah, that's huge. That's absolutely huge. So congrats to you guys on taking those steps. And I'm curious too, do you guys work with any like Virginia government or anything along those lines in regards to animal population, or have you had any experience into that, like working with governmental agencies in regards to any of this?
Yeah, so we are the government shelter for the city of Richmond. So we're the municipal shelter for the city. And so along with our staff, our adoption staff, our kennel staff, our admin staff, we also have 7 animal control officers that work for us. We're all in the same department. So we're kind of the ones out in the field responding to calls for strays and neglect, and pursuing legal charges for any cruelty, neglect that we see. So from a government standpoint, we are that for the city of Richmond. We have this, our hashtag, we are your city shelter. So, you know, we work for the city. We oversee the animal laws for the city of Richmond. And then we also work with our state partners, VACA, the Virginia Animal Control Association, and we work with other partner municipal shelters throughout the state to help them. And we all try to work together and assist each other when we can.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I don't know if I've ever spoke with a governmental agency like that. And what is that like? I mean, does that mean that in terms of like, do you guys have like a contact at, you know, in your local county or whatever in regards to that, or is everything passed down just kind of offhand, like when it comes to updates or changes or anything like that?
Yeah, so we oversee, you know, anything animal related in the city, and our officers are the ones that are out in the field overseeing things. We work with surrounding counties. We work together if there's ever like a large seizure case or something where we need each other's assistance, we will work with each other. So you know, the different state municipal shelters are good at building relationships and sharing advice and, you know, calls for help when we need it. If one shelter is overrun and we can help them, we will, with space. So we're not against transferring in animals from other municipal shelters if we have the space. And that's something that our foundation helps us with too. So that's not coming out of our city budget and taxpayer budget. It's something that our foundation helps us cover when we help out other shelters.
That's really cool. I didn't know that it was set up like that. So that's really interesting to me. And where can everyone follow you guys? I know that you guys have a nice social media presence. So that's how I found you, actually. So where can we all follow you at?
Yeah, so you can follow us on Facebook. It's at Richmond Animal Care and Control. And then we're also on Instagram. It's at @RAC_shelter. And, you know, we post daily and we post interesting stories and things that we see and happy and sad. And again, what I mentioned earlier, we're very transparent about the work that we're doing on a daily basis. And people respond to that and cry when we cry and cheer when we cheer. And so people like to follow us and we like to share our story.
That's amazing. And all of those links will be down in the description below of wherever you're listening on. Robin, I want to thank you so much for coming on today. It was great speaking with you.
Thanks. Yeah, thank you. Thanks so much. Yeah, definitely follow us. And we love to get new followers checking out what we're doing.
Definitely. Definitely. It's an amazing page. Everyone go check it out. Thanks again, Robin. Take care.
Thank you.